July 11th, the Holy Grape Female Martyr Euphemia. Saint Euphemia is commemorated on September 16th, the day on which she was martyred. On this day, however, is commemorated the miracle surrounding her honorable relics, which was manifested at the time of the Fourth Ecumenical Council in Chalcedon. This council was convened during the reign of Emperor Marcian and the Empress Pulcheria in the year 451 AD. After the death of Emperor Theodosius the Younger, the reason for summoning this council was the heresy of Dioscorus, the Patriarch of Alexandria and Eutyches, an Archimandrite from Constantinople, who spread the false teaching that in Christ the Lord there were not two natures, divine and human, but only one, a divine nature. At this council, Anatolius, Patriarch of Constantinople, and Juvenal, Patriarch of Jerusalem, played the most prominent roles. Because a conclusion could not be reached through debates and testimonies from either side, Patriarch Anatolius motioned that the Orthodox and the heretics write down their confessions of faith and then place them in the sarcophagus where the relics of Saint Euphemia reposed. They all agreed to this. Therefore, the two confessions of faith were written and placed on the bosom of the great female martyr. The sarcophagus was closed, sealed with the emperor's seal, and military guards were appointed. All of them spent 3 days in prayer and fasting. When they opened the sarcophagus, on the fourth day, they saw the Orthodox confession of faith in the right hand of the saint, and the heretical confession of faith under her feet. Thus, the dispute through the power of God was decided in favor of Orthodoxy. During the reign of Emperor Heraclius, the relics of Saint Euphemia were translated from Chalcedon to Constantinople to the church dedicated to her near the Hippodrome. The iconoclastic Emperor Leo the Isaurian ordered that these relics be tossed into the sea, but in a miraculous manner the sarcophagus was translated to the island of Lemnos and placed in the church of the great female martyr Glyceria. Then, during the reign of the Empress Irene, the sarcophagus with the relics of Saint Euphemia was again returned to Constantinople, to its former place. Blood flowed from these relics from time to time, which helped those who were ill or in misery. Saint Helena, Olga. Helena was a great Russian princess who, before her baptism, was called Olga. Olga was the wife of Prince Igor. Patriarch Polyuctus baptized her in Constantinople. She was very zealous for the Orthodox faith in Russia. She entered into eternal rest in the year 969 AD. The venerable martyr Nicodemus. Nicodemus was born in Elbasan, Albania. He was married and had children. Deceived by the Turks, he embraced Islam and forced his children to embrace Islam also, except for one son, who fled to the holy Mount Athos, where he was tonsured a monk. Nicodemus traveled to Mount Athos to bring his son back, but Mount Athos made such an impression on him that he repented and returned to the faith of Christ, and was tonsured a monk. Because of his apostasy, he wept for 3 years, and finally decided to return to Albania to repent of his sin, where he previously committed it. Upon returning, he declared before the Turks that he is a Christian, and was beheaded on July the 11th, 1722. His miraculous working relics even today repose intact and uncorrupt. The venerable martyr Nectarius. Nectarius was born in Verulamia in Asia Minor. At age 17, he was forced to embrace Islam. He had a similar fate as did Saint Nicodemus. When, as a Muslim, he appeared before his mother, she cried out, "Depart from me, I know you not. I bore you as a Christian, not as a Muslim." He repented bitterly and departed for Mount Athos, and there in the skete of Saint Anne was tonsured a monk. Deciding to suffer for Christ, and thereby to wash away his sin, he again returned to Verula, where he suffered martyrdom. He was beheaded for Christ by the Turks in his place of birth on July 11th, 1820, at the age of 21. Hymn of Praise, Saint Olga, Helena, Saint Nicodemus, Saint Nectarius.
God loves penitence, for them he suffered, to repentance he the sinners even now beckons. Olga penitent was, by baptism she was born, and from darkness the Russian people with the cross liberated, and from Elbasan Nicodemus, from Christ turned away, repented and returned, and for the sin my blood pay. From Asia, Nectarius, a flower not yet ripened, out of ignorance a Muslim became, saddened the angels, repented and sorrowed, a brook of tears shed, and death more than life, painful death love, turban removed and placed it before the terrible judge for the honorable cross. The head of Saint Nectarius was taken, a penitence Christ loves, and will always love them, to Christ, who is so dear, as a repentant man.
Reflection. A change of fortune strikes the hardest when it strikes unexpectedly, but he who expects the stroke and guards himself against it beforehand, should he then be surprised? King Charlemagne the Great ordered his sons to learn a trade and his daughters to learn to spin wool in order to be able to earn a living should their fate change. The famous and renowned Belisarius, a great general and a great conqueror, was slandered by the envious before the king, and on the basis of these slanders was blinded and his estate taken away from him. The blind Belisarius sat before the gates of Rome and begged for alms, saying to passers-by, "Give alms to Belisarius, whom fortune raised on high, but was toppled by envy and deprived of his sight." The righteous Job says, "Is not a man's life on earth a drudgery? Are not his days those of a hireling?" Job chapter 7 verse 1. Therefore, one must be as watchful guard and prepared for all that may happen. What is there that cannot happen to a man? And yet, in every suffering one must have hope in God. On the dunghill in all his festering sores, the righteous Job cried out, "Though he slay me, yet will I trust in him." Job chapter 13 verse 15. Contemplation. To contemplate the miraculous illumination of the face of Moses. Exodus chapter 34. How after his conversation with God on Mount Sinai, the face of Moses was illuminated by light. How the people saw and dared not approach Moses, and he placed a veil over his face. He placed a veil on his face. Exodus chapter 34, verse 33. How from sincere prayer a communication with God, the face of God's chosen one is illuminated. Homily, about obedience and humility. Likewise, you younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yes, all of you be subject one to another, and to be clothed with humility. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 5. Here is the principle of the true Catholicity of orthodoxy. It is based on the unconditional obedience of the younger toward the elders, and on reciprocal obedience of equals among themselves, and on the humility of both the elders and the younger. Humility is a good word, but better still is the word humbleness, and the best word is humble-mindedness. In essence, humble-mindedness corresponds exactly to the Greek word which the apostle used in his epistle, and humble-mindedness signifies lowly thoughts about oneself and higher thoughts about God, and constant admission of one's helplessness, one's ignorance, one's viciousness, one's unworthiness, and constant recognition of God's power, God's wisdom, God's mercy, and God's dignity. God is the only king of mankind. That is why God opposed the wishes of the Israelites that a king be appointed for them from among the people. God rules and men serve God. Those who rule and those who submit are equally the servants of God. When it is known and recognized that God is king and that all men are servants of God, then, by this, the foundation of Catholicity is established, the foundation of the angelic society. Upon this foundation, then, is built the house of God, the angelic society, with the help of the obedience of the younger toward the elders, and on reciprocal obedience of peers among themselves, and upon the humble-mindedness of all. In this manner, two terrible evils are avoided in the world: tyranny, i.e., one ruling over many by force, and anarchy, i.e., mob rule, thereby avoiding mono-tyranny and poly-tyranny. The principle of Catholicity is an organic principle, i.e., the principle of life. This is the principle of mutual service, mutual help, and mutual love. Brethren, may God endow us with wisdom to have recourse toward this saving principle in our lives. Lord Jesus, obedient and humble lover of mankind, implant and confirm in us obedience to your law and mutual obedience out of love and humble-mindedness toward your unutterable power and wisdom. To you be glory and thanks always. Amen.